Hello, everybody. Welcome to the show. Coming from you in the heart of Heightstown, New Jersey.
Heightstown. Love Heightstown.
Love Heightstown. Welcome to the show. All our listeners, Artie, our exceptional engineer, my co-host, Ken.
Yes. Good to be alive.
And tonight we have some special guests. We got Bobby.
Very special.
We got Bruce. Hi, guys.
How you doing?
To the show. And the guy in the back over there who's being coy is Rob. So... Cool. Welcome, boys.
Is that a fish?
It's not a fish.
There is a fish.
Koi fish.
Koi
yeah.
fish, right?
Put them in the ponds in your garden.
You know, koi like...
You're talking about fish. Welcome to COA Radio. To listen, www.coaradio.com. And if you want to find out all the neat stuff we do, you can go to our website, www.cityofangelsnj.org. Welcome to the show. What's up, Ken? How are you?
Nothing. I'm good, Johnny. It's, you know, life's good. Good to be here. You know, a little tired, but, you know, we all just come up and show up and, you know, continue to do what we got to do in terms of trying to help people realize that if they make a phone call to this organization, City of Angels are really, you know, be in a position to help them. All you got to do is call. Now, how difficult is it to make a phone call?
Not very.
You know, like... 10 digits, come on, you know? Yeah. We had a call, but we were a little bit late here, and then I called her on the phone and, you know, talked about we're going to have her on in a couple of weeks, Johnny.
Beautiful.
But, you know.
Sounds good. Artie, how are you?
I'm good.
You didn't say good morning.
I don't think I'm going to be saying good morning for very much longer.
Well, my man, he's the best, ain't he? Isn't it so common?
Yeah, I mean, Artie's very happy about moving into a new phase in his life,
yeah,
actually.
Man.
I could see the excitement. And
I'm still not sure.
Yeah, he's you all know. Over himself with excitement. You can see that.
I see a lot of fishing.
Yeah, I see that.
Would that be koi fishing?
Oh, now, yeah, forget the koi fishing. Will you?
That would be striper
bass. There you go.
It's
now we're talking.
Right, isn't it?
Now
the season open.
You get two.
So to call in, it's 609-241-7103. Give us a call. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know if you have any questions for our guests or myself or the staff, the team. There's three of us. We dwindled down again. Here we are.
Yeah, yeah, so.
Always back to the original three.
That's right. That's us. Again, that number is 609-241-7103. Let us know what you think if you're listening. And, you know, we'll answer any questions we can. We're doing a lot of things for overdose awareness.
Yeah.
Big, big international overdose awareness walk coming up. August 31st, it's an international, so...
It's a Wednesday.
The entire country, it's a Wednesday, we'll be doing it simultaneously, so that's going to be big.
Got to step up, man.
We're getting our committee together. Don't forget our walk, City of Angels Walk for Recovery, is September 10th. Hey, I remembered.
Very
look at
good.
That. Wow. I'm getting better, man.
We'll be really trimming down the pounds with all these walks, Johnny.
Yeah, well, the problem is they have food at these things, too.
So the walk and get it.
So the food outdoes the, you know, for me, anyway.
That's true. Plus,
so,
you know.
Guys, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
How are things? Good?
I'm doing well. I'm doing
good.
Very well. I woke up sober today.
There you go.
What a great beginning.
I used to
say that, you know. Guess what happened to me this morning, Johnny? I woke up.
Hell yeah!
Yeah. Well, you know what? There's some people that didn't. There's some people that we saw yesterday that aren't here today.
It's true.
You know, this addiction is running rampant.
It is.
You know, it's an epidemic. And, you know, what we try to do is let people know that there's help. I mean, hey, it happened for us. I didn't think I could get clean. You know, I don't know about you guys. I thought it was something that just couldn't happen. You know, being around the program for a long time, and the word there is around, because I wasn't involved. That's the truth.
Absolutely.
Of what happened to my life. And now today, I'm involved, you know. And I want to hear from you guys, really, man, where you were, where you came from, how you got here, what you're doing today. I mean, I think people need to hear the hope, man.
Well, for me, I had 40 years of misery, you know.
Okay.
9 months ago, I came up from Florida. I went down for treatment. Stayed clean for 8 months, relapsed. Stayed clean for another year, but I was a dry drunk. I wasn't happy. My roommate saw what was going on. I didn't have money to come up here. He suggested I come to where I'm staying.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, you need to get some help. He reached into his own pocket, bought me a plane ticket.
Nice.
Flew me to Philly, got me into a recovery house.
Okay.
9 months later, you know, the grace of Pops over there, he started a meeting. And 2 days in, I was brought to that meeting. I met my sponsor that night. Since then, my feet haven't stopped moving. You know, my sponsor tells me once my feet stop moving, I'm doomed. So I keep them moving constantly. You know, people, you know, like Pops asked me to come here tonight. I can't turn them down. My sponsor told me if I don't give it back, I can't keep it.
Well, he is a lot bigger than you, so.
That's right, I can run faster. Yeah.
That's a small fact.
You know?
Small potatoes.
No, you came because you're willing to be in service. That's the truth.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. I will never turn service.
But let's back up a minute. You said that you were in recovery and you stayed sober for 8 months, then you relapsed. Were you in recovery in order to relapse, or were you just
I was playing
abstinent
game.
Free.
I was abstinent, you know.
Okay.
I had gotten a couple sponsors, three as a matter of fact.
You're a shopper.
Yeah, well, they went out. Each one went out at a different time. I thought, you know, what's wrong with me? Why is it every time
so you
I
took
get a
it
sponsor?
Personal.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, what's wrong with this man if I get a sponsor and he has to use because of me? You know? That's exactly how I felt.
No, I could see how you could take that personal.
If it happens once,
I mean, no big deal. Twice, well.
Yeah, but that third time's a charm, you know?
Right.
What's wrong with me? And then I played the game. You know, I went to meetings. I wasn't getting involved. I wasn't doing any of the work, you know, and my, like I said, my roommate saw the misery and said I needed to get out of Florida.
Okay.
I needed to go where there was a lot of recovery, and that's what I did. So now I get to give it back because it was given to me.
Freely.
You know, absolutely freely. That's the best thing about this. It doesn't cost you a dime, you know.
Yeah. Yeah,
all
I hear you.
Time, and we all have plenty of that.
Who would ever think that the best thing that could ever happen to you was free?
It's insanity.
It is.
It's insanity for real.
We got away so cheap.
If that's how you want to put it.
You know, the pain and suffering over all them years, 40-some years of active addiction, and the thing was free.
Who would have ever guessed, right?
Tell me who the brightest star in the sky is.
I'm not going to claim that, that's for sure.
Bruce.
Yes, how you doing?
How are you?
I'm doing well. You know,
good to hear.
This time around, I'm coming up on 2 years, and I'm very grateful because I first came around in 86. I had 13 years. I ended up relapsing. I was in a bad car accident, and it took me 15 years to get back.
Wow.
I've been through hell and back, and at one point, there wasn't any hope. I didn't think there was any hope for me, and you know, I thought I was going to die, and there were times where I should have died, and I didn't. And thank God I had somebody sit down with me, a sponsor sit down with me, and took me through the steps. And because of that, you know, I'm here today. I'm only clean and sober by the grace of God, nothing else. And you know, it's I give back as much as possible. I freely give back. You know, there's so much things that I do to keep me on track and keep me focused on recovery. That I try not to have too much downtime. because that's where I get in trouble when I have too much downtime.
Yeah.
Don't we all?
Yeah, we do.
Yeah.
That's why I keep my feet moving, like you said, Bobby. This weekend was like a whirlwind. Saturday, Kenny and I went down to Center City, right?
South Philly, 20th and Christian.
And, you know, a lot of times, I know for me, like, I'm going to a meeting and I ain't feeling it. And I don't want to go. But this was one of them times. And after we left that meeting, it's like $1 million. It was just so night and day. And I was glad I went. And that's what usually happens to me. Because, you know, I get lazy sometimes. But then I turned right around Sunday and went to Baltimore and saw some of my friends down there and went to their picnic. And they had, check this out, they had 100 people and it was pouring rain. So imagine if it was a bright and sunny day. The turnout would have been incredible.
A little better, a lot more people.
Definitely. Yeah, so, and we made two meetings down there. And, you know, we did some step work. I did a step work with a sponsee and it was just incredible, awesome. Got home 9 o'clock last night, quite tired from the road.
Sure.
But we do what we do.
Yeah, you know? We did that the weekend before, too.
We did it last Saturday, yeah.
It's all about being in service, man, showing up.
Yeah.
You know, just showing up is so important, I mean, you know. But I think what happens, too, is you have to have a plan to show up, you know what I mean? You have to. There has to be certain days during the week, at least for myself. There's certain places where I know I'm going to be. You know, Monday night I'm here, and, you know, Tuesday night we have plans tomorrow. A friend of ours celebrating 9 years clean, and we like to participate in things like that because we think it's a celebration, because it is. You know, it's absolutely a miracle, any one of us staying clean for a day.
I mean, 24 hours is a miracle to me.
Yeah, yeah. So put, you know, put 14,000 together or put 28,000 days together. You know what I mean? Is the miracle huger? I'm thinking it is.
Huger?
Huger.
Huger. More huge.
No.
Huger.
Off to Google we go.
Huger. The only problem with literature is language, right, John?
That's right.
Yeah. The huger.
Literature is language.
Huge. Yeah. No, you guys know what I'm saying.
Oh, for sure. Yes.
I had a hang on that, though, when you said huge.
You know, well, you know what critiques could. You know what I'm saying? It's like, hey. What are you going
to
do?
Yeah.
Right, Rob?
Right.
He was ready for you.
Yeah.
That's right. I'm sharp
I
as a tack on the air.
I set myself up again.
We tend to do that quite frequently, don't we?
Yes, we do.
I embarrass myself very easily.
You know, Tommy, it's funny how you said, you know, you didn't feel like going to that meeting. Usually when I don't feel like going to a meeting, that's when I get that message so strong.
Exactly.
You know, I may not feel that speaker or whatever that meeting's purpose is, but I always leave there feeling
exactly,
so spiritual.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's
exactly
when you don't
what happened
do
Saturday.
It.
Yeah.
It's like it's thrown in your face. And like we said before, and it's free. You know?
That's the best part.
That's the best part. Because it's tough for me to part with a dollar these days. I'll be honest with you. You know? And
so Rob had to buy you dinner?
Well, we're going to work on that on the ride home.
Like you said, it's an honest program.
Yeah, not people.
Honestly, I'm not lying.
Honest program, not honest people.
Yeah, I find myself, you know, there are times when I don't want to go to a meeting or sit down with a sponsee and stuff. However, you know, I've been taught that regardless of whether how I feel, do it anyways. And 100% of the time afterwards, I feel a lot better. And in regards to going to meetings and stuff, I've been taught that, well, don't go to a meeting to get something out of it. Go to a meeting what you can put into it. Mm-hmm. And you know, because a lot of people have different experiences and people bring some good things to a meeting and they bring stuff to a meeting where it might help somebody.
Mm-hmm.
You might not even know that until you get a call a year or two down the road and say, hey, what you said at that meeting helped me.
Yeah. Yeah. So he's kind of like just planting a seed, you know what I mean?
Big time.
We do a lot of that.
We're all farmers then, huh?
What's that?
We're all farmers. We plant that seed, it grows, and then we pick the crop, you know? And
Yeah.
It's amazing how this thing works, you know? It really is. I wouldn't give it back for the world where I am today.
Well, then, of course, you have the other side, which is why we do this stuff. And people get one shot maybe sometimes, and then when they make that decision to pick it up again, you can do it one time and die.
Right.
And, you know, that's the end result for me is death, you know, and I'm not willing. A few months ago, maybe a year ago, I was willing to die.
Not well, today. I never know that I was willing to die. I just thought that it wouldn't happen to me.
Yeah, I don't think I cared, to be honest with you.
Yeah, that's
how I felt. That's more or less what it was.
That's what I was thinking.
Today, I love myself because of the program that I'm following today. I look in the mirror, I like who's looking back. And that's really important for me today, you know. You know, for those young people out there, if they think this isn't going to work for them, give it a try.
Well, yeah, I stayed here a long time, not believing I could stay here.
And look what happened for you. Absolutely. Right? That miracle just showed up and bit you in the tuchus, you know?
The tuchus.
Yeah. I'm old, you know?
Is tuchus a word? Is that like huger?
It's kind of like huger, but it's in a different dictionary.
Huger probably means something else.
Huger?
I thought that was Indiana
huger. That's the other one.
You know, you mentioned about somebody going back out and losing her life and stuff. And, you know, for me, I didn't think it was going to happen to me. And I was at death's door, and I still didn't think it was going to happen to me. And thank God it did not. And if there was any justice in this world, I shouldn't be. I wouldn't and shouldn't be here right now. You know, to relate a personal experience to somebody stopped by the other day where we live, and next day the person is dead, and this is the reality of the disease of addiction and alcoholism.
Well, doing this show and being involved with what we're involved in, you hear it a lot. Like Artie would tell me, like from week to week, how many people from one week to the next.
We had to ask him to stop telling us.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Because it's so sad.
It is.
And then here you have the parents of their kids or whoever it might be saying, you know, comment and saying, what more could I have done? And there's nothing.
I know, but you're left guessing afterwards. You know what
sure.
I mean?
It's
just human nature to...
Well, we tend to blame ourselves.
What could I have done differently?
You know?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Nothing is the answer.
It's the individual, you know, you got to want it.
And that's exactly it.
When you look at like a wall of people that have overdosed and died, like that impact, like it's just ridiculous.
Well, you know, that's why that wall is there. You know what I mean? When a parent comes in and they say, hey, you know, my kid's got a problem, but they're willing to at least walk into the office.
Right.
We got that wall and we go, see that wall? And they're like, what's that? And then we tell them what that wall is.
Mm.
And it becomes real for them. You know right. what I mean? But does that make a difference? We had a kid in there. He did that. He looked at that wall. Still refused to go to treatment. Was going to go home and think about it. Went home and got high. And that was it. You know what I mean? That one last before he was going to go away.
Well, that's the thing. We always think we have one more in us. Mm-hmm. You know?
Well, that's what we always talk about. We think.
Yeah,
our thinking is...
It's messed up to begin with.
It's skewed from the beginning.
Yeah, that's where we make our first mistake, thinking.
But you're not going to talk somebody once your mind is made up.
Exactly.
Something, though. I mean, there's nothing that we're going to say. I mean, you know, we try to point you and show you and make you realize that yourself. But, you know, that doesn't mean you're going to.
Right. That's the sadness because you really pour your heart and soul into letting people know that, hey, it can be different. You have to give it a shot. I can't do it for you. You know, I'm not walking in your shoes, you know what I mean? I don't have your schedule.
Yeah, most of the kids that are walking through our door are kids. I mean, they're 16 to 25, you know what I mean, for the majority. I mean,
you know, when we started out tonight, and I was talking to Bobby and Bruce, I just got this overwhelming sadness, thinking about our people that die, you know?
I get that way. I mean,
it's just, me too.
I'm adding kids to our memorial page on the website. You know what I mean? Right. I mean, how much of that can you do?
How happy is that?
You can...
Not very.
You can only absorb so much of that, and it's going to affect you at some point in time, you know? I mean,
so it's killing me. Let me divert for a minute. That is what?
That's water with
that
lemon and lime.
Infused water. That
infused
is
water. What's
lemon
that?
And mint.
Is that coffee?
That's my coffee.
Coffee
that's
over
the
there.
That's the important one there.
I like, already got it going on, bro. He got coffee over there.
He doesn't know what he wants.
That's fine. He's got choices. He has choices.
Okay,
it's funny
good
that
point.
You say that because this is a choice.
It is a choice.
You know?
This
I,
lifestyle?
I have the choice to use or I have
there?
The choice
but
to
but is it really a choice?
Well, you know, I hear a lot of debate about that. Is it a disease?
It is a disease. I believe that 100%.
I believe that wholeheartedly.
So you're ready to get in the treatment, and then they want to put you in a residential center, then not so much.
Well, if it's not a disease, what is it?
I can't answer that question because I believe it is a disease.
Right, but some of the things, the conversations
that
you've had.
I've been having a conversation with a friend of mine recently on Facebook. He helps people that are incarcerated.
Okay.
Transition back into the so-called real world. And there's a lot of people, you know, he says this is a disease. A lot of people say, no, it's a choice. Well.
All right. If it is as such, like you just said, which I don't buy it for 1 second.
Not at all.
Who would choose to do what they do in addiction? Come on.
Honestly.
Someone that's sick.
Then
it's a disease, right?
Ergo, it's a disease.
But what happens when Johnny hurts his knee playing in football as a junior in high school, has to have knee surgery, okay? They put him on Oxycontin. He runs out of that, raids grandmom's Xanax or whatever he can get out of her medicine cabinet. Once all that runs out, now we can buy heroin for $2. I mean...
Some choice,
it's
huh?
It's not a choice. It's the we don't want to get sick thing.
Exactly. Here's what happens. We get clean and
well,
then,
you still have a choice. You can get sick or you can get not, or you can get well.
But the choice is taken away in the process.
It's let's say
back.
This. It would be like me going to the emergency room and say I'm having a heart attack and them telling me to come back June 7th.
I love that.
Thing, right?
I love that. That's that
no
is
choice.
True. Where'd you hear that?
You
just made that up, right?
All night and
you got to trademark that.
He works at night.
No, and I wanted to point out when I'm obsessing about something or physically craving, the choice is out the window at that point. My focus and my energy is placed in getting the next high. Where am I going to get it? How am I going to get it? And that's what I focus on. And I'm going to do what it takes to get there.
And that was the whole existence, right? I mean, you're surviving through the night to make sure you scored so you're good for the next day when you wake up, right? I mean,
that's
the cycle of it, right?
Yes.
That's being active. The only thing that I'm not powerless over in life is my choices today. I mean, I choose to use today if I want to. I have the ability to make good decisions. You know, people say, you know, about their thinking. Who really can control their thinking? Nobody can. You're powerless over that. Because, let's use for an example, if a young female walks through here right now, and you're with your wife, and she's of the voluptuous woman, what
you
do you think right away?
How to say that, right?
but I'm using it as an example.
Right.
What pops into your mind right away? Now, who controlled that thinking?
I'm wondering if she knows how to cook.
There you go. So we have no control over nothing but our choices.
But once we get here, here's my thing, all right? And nobody's going to, you know, some healthy individual, like Artie said, like we see how these kids go to heroin, all right? And it's more common than anything else, these young kids. What they're doing. They get injured in sports, never used before, but they hurt themselves. They they get pills or whatever, they have knee surgery, blah, 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 and then bang, now they're on a mission. Do you think they actually chose that?
Absolutely not.
So here's what I'm saying.
They were exposed to society's ways.
We have decisions to make. Now, when you go in a restaurant, you have a menu, you have choices. They're choices. Because...
But choices nonetheless.
Right. Now, if I say, well, I'll take the apple pie, is it going to kill me? Then the choice, it's not a choice anymore. Right? That's my point.
Yeah.
But I think there's probably two sides of that. I mean, you're going to have
the sports stars
who were injured and got hooked through doctors' prescriptions. And you're going to have people like my nephew who is trying to escape from something. You know what I mean? Which there's a much deeper root to his addiction. I mean, you know?
Right. So a lot of
his addiction is, you know, what's making you want to go escape. You know what I mean? At 16 years old from all the shit in your life.
Right. I mean, I think that's that happens
with... So I think there's two sides.
But because of that, you bring up a good point. But because of that, See, for me, the answer was always using. Because if I was insecure or if I was fearful or anything like that, I used, and I wasn't any of them things anymore. So, okay, maybe that's a choice.
You know, so, yeah, but...
I choose not to feel
it. But again, you can say it was a choice, but it's much deeper than that. You know what I mean?
You're right.
It was something you're running away and escaping from.
I agree.
You know what I mean? That was your...
Right, when you find the pill...
But were you really running to escape at that point if you really didn't know you had a problem?
Well, you know what? I think in the beginning you start to escape, and then after that you fall into the, I don't want to get sick anymore. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, for me, when I was younger, I was looking for that escape. And then when I got older, I was diagnosed with a crippling disease. I had the best drug dealers in the world, my doctors. And they told me that I was in pain.
They told you.
Yeah, they told me. And they prescribed me everything under the sun. But
you went to the dentist and walked out with 500 Percocet.
But see, the thing was, it was my choice to abuse those drugs.
But is it real?
Well, it was at first, but then it became a habit for me because I was getting sick.
All right,
so I had to take more.
Stay there. Is a habit a choice?
No, not. It's physical. It's physical. Because if I didn't have it, I was going to be sick.
Let me tell you something.
Well, you have a choice before it reaches that point.
But again, we all have addictive behaviors in some sort or another, whether you're doing drugs or you sit here and click your pen. Right. You know what I mean? 1,000 times, it's an addictive behavior, right?
And in my mind, I don't think it's going to get that bad. I keep saying, well, it's not going to get that bad. And
because you're rationalizing.
What happens is the boundaries get more blurry or more blurry, and before I know it, I'm down the rabbit hole again.
Once you're in, see, the disease is so cunning. It never brings you back to them dark, lonely places in the penitentiary. Or robbing your grandmother's pocketbook, or walking around barefooted in Kensington. It doesn't bring you there.
Nah.
It brings you to that hotel room in Atlantic City when you just hit one, a bunch of money, you got more substances on the table than you can imagine. The bells are ringing, you're popping champagne. It brings you there. It brings you to when you got that good job, you had unlimited funds, you're in a union, you can buy all you want. You don't have problems. The disease don't bring you there.
Mm-mm.
It don't bring you to riding in the back of the Department of Correction van from one part of the state to the other at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Well, I mean,
it don't bring you there. It brings you only to the good times.
No, I hear you.
Here's the thing.
Unless we're told to never forget your last one. So.
I don't even remember my last one.
I do.
What good is that going to do me?
Yeah.
Pain and the agony of the last one, with me on the L wanting to be dead, I was welcoming death. I'm saying, dear God, this program doesn't work.
You're right.
Please, end it. The drugs don't work. I have nobody to call. I guess everything depends on the individual, just like everything else.
But didn't you do that same trip on the L for 30 days leading up to that day. Right. Every day you said the same thing, please, please. And just
how many times have you said that?
Well, I mean, I lost count.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, didn't De Niro say it best? Every time I try to get out, they drag me back in. I mean, it's the same thing.
No, I mean, there's, you know,
there you go.
You know, not to be controversial, but I mean, everything is certainly a personal experience. Like, look at my daughter. My daughter's successful, gets her knee operated on, has a jug of Percocets on it. And she took them for a couple of days, and she said, Dad, I'm not going to take any more of them. You know, just like that. I'm like, okay, well, you don't need them? Like, aren't you in pain? Yeah, well, you know, I am, but I can deal with it. She made a decision not to take the rest of them, you know?
I know, but us as good parents, they go to the dentist, they're prescribed 500 milligram Percocets, and as good parents, here, Susie, take this three times a day like you're supposed to.
Because you don't want your baby to be in pain. That's why.
I mean, you're not, the back of your mind is not like, hey, I'm turning my kid into a heroin addict. You know what I mean? That's not the thought there. But
no, it isn't.
That's what we're doing.
But see, with me, with my addictive behavior, I can't do that. I can't say, you know, okay, I took them for 3 days. I'm good. Because in the back of my mind, oh, I'm in pain. How do I get
out
of that
pain? Right, because you've already experienced that. You've already been conditioned. I think addiction is a conditioning. We're conditioned to do this thing day in and day out. Like, you know, when I was 13 years old, I drank beer and smoked pot. You know, but I didn't drink every day. I didn't smoke pot every day. I was sort of like.
But what
a
did you progress to?
I was a weekend warrior.
Was it a gateway for you?
It was a gateway, actually, because I was looking for something a little bit better to take me out of myself a little bit quicker.
But why were you drinking and smoking pot in the first place?
That's what everybody did.
Because I was curious.
Because our parents were drinkers.
You know?
That's just it.
My mom and dad didn't drink.
Isn't society beating?
Only on holidays.
But you know what? Even if they didn't drink, there was usually some type of liquor lying around the house.
Oh, yeah. There was always, yeah.
Cooking sherry or something, right?
Well, there was always
alcohol in the house. My dad worked for a beer company, so we always.
But the point I'm trying to make is.
See, I thought that for years. I thought my father worked for Carling's Black Label. Little did I know he worked for the USDA, you know?
Right.
You know, I've had this discussion a lot with people back. Back when I was growing up, and I think we're all around the same age, we started out with marijuana and alcohol.
Right.
And now the kids nowadays, they're going straight to heroin. And for me, I still don't get it to this day that do we go from straight to heroin?
Well, they're starting with Xanax and things that, you know, opiates that they're getting out of grandma's medicine cabinet. You know what I mean? And then it's leading pretty fast, you know what I mean, to heroin because it's the cheaper.
And it's a lot easier to acquire today, too, you know?
Right. But it's, again, they don't realize how scary it is. I mean, you know, if you ever watch any of that Drug Inc. stuff, and that stuff is all true, you know, there's a one guy with a bandana on putting fentanyl in that one bag going, once they hit this baby, you know what I mean? Ka-ching, ka-ching, ka-ching.
Yeah.
Sure, now everybody wants it because I want to get that bag.
That man, he's sold
they
out.
All want
sure.
it.
Sure.
Yeah.
And then, you know, what about synthetic drugs? I mean, there's no method to that madness. You know, I watched this show about those two girls. I mean, they were like honor students and they were just experimenting, you know, which I'm sure, you know, we all did our share of. I'm a child of the 60s.
Me too.
But, you know, one had a heavier dose than the other one because there's no scientific thing to it. Right. And that girl died, you know what I mean, from it. So you don't even know what you're taking with some of the stuff that's out there today.
You're listening to Living Clean and Sober. Give us a call, 609-241-7103. If you want to join the conversation or just comment on anything any of our guests said or any of that, go to our website, www.cityofangelsnj.org. If you want to know how to get involved, we got a lot of neat stuff going on here. And so that's it. Back to our discussion. Here's the thing. Somebody showed this to me, and I thought it was nonsense. Sure, he had a brain. Not a real brain, but a thing, a model of a brain. And he says, when you think or you obsess, about heroin or how that makes you feel. It's the feeling, really. The brain lights up like a Christmas tree. So now, if that's true, and I believe it to be true because it was scientifically explaining it, then when it comes to that, and this is why people die, and many of them are dying as a result of this, there is no such thing as a choice. You're following up on your disease. Now, if there was something I could do to think, if there was something I could think about that would stop me from using, I wouldn't have to go to meetings. I wouldn't have to do any of that. But there isn't. There's no...
Because you crossed that line.
Right. I have the disease of addiction.
And there's no switch to turn off that pleasure feeling, no. You know?
But you've learned the skills to cope with that over the
years. Well, the spiritual way of life is the only way out for a guy like me. Without that, I'm doomed. I will use again without that. Without that change in the psyche. Because if without that, I'm the same old, like I always was.
It's the same thing. You have to retrain yourself.
Yeah, do you ever hear somebody
like
say...
The act of addiction, the way of life,
somebody,
we retrain to survive.
A 25-year-old kid, and he gets 28 days in recovery.
Oh, got a call. You're on
Now we're training to live.
Right.
That's what recovery is. Right, Robin?
City of Angels, you're on a...
Wrong number?
I guess they changed their mind.
Well, that's why they say we have a spiritual malady, you know, because we're not spiritual. And then we reach out and we want, like, I want what you have. I'm sorry, you're a very happy man, Johnny. You know, I want what you have. And the only way for me to get that is to be spiritual.
Well, you have to do the work.
Yeah, well, and that's how I get to be spiritual, by doing that work.
Right.
By jumping in and doing it, because I like what I see. I don't like what I had before. It was not a good way of life. You know, and I hate to say it, but these kids today, there's no fear. And I think that has
no
a big
fear
part
when I
to
was
do
kid.
With
well,
it.
No, we didn't have fear. I mean,
it hasn't changed.
No, but our fear was a little different.
Years old, man. I'm scared of more shit today than I was when I was 20.
Yeah.
But the fear was different. I was in fear of getting that belt from my mom for doing the wrong thing. These kids don't have that today.
There was fear, but
I wasn't
couldn't
scared
feel
of that,
it.
She broke so many spoons over.
But I was so unconscious.
That I was feared.
When I thought I was being tough, that's when I was the most afraid. So it was so backward. I didn't recognize that as fear, but it was. I found that out when I got clean. Like, I was in fear most of my life, of everything, of life, of reality. I didn't like
that. And how did you cover that fear? By using.
By trying to be tough.
Sure.
By trying to overcompensate, and it doesn't work. Right?
No,
but if you would have told me in 1979, walking on a tear, that I was afraid, I would throw you off the tier, because I can't be afraid, especially.
But that was your belief system was screwed up.
Right, exactly.
You know, it's a lot of factors. See, when you come to the disease of addiction, a lot of people believe you were born with that. We could go back and forth with that.
Yeah, that's
manufactured mine.
And if you are born with that, we all have addictive behaviors in some way, shape,
right,
or form.
Yeah. They might never come out. You might never know.
And if
need to. But when you're doing drugs, you need to know that something's up.
We live in a fix-oriented society. One-hour cleaners.
Actually,
fast food.
Self-gratifying. And this younger generation, I mean, man.
Let me get high.
They
work
for me. I look at them like, oh, my God. Like, they don't care about nothing.
No, they don't.
Instant gratification.
Sneakers.
Instant gratification. I'm not coming in tonight. Well, you've called off like 17 times since January 1st. Oh, well, I got shit to do. You know what I mean? I mean, that's the mindset.
Can't you do it on weekend?
Yeah, like, right?
No, they have to do it when they have
no,
to do
I'm
it.
Busy.
You know, you or I are going to plan that for our available time or what? No, not
right.
Now.
Right, so I guess what we're all saying here tonight is you have to get to that place where you want to make a choice to live this way of life. Whatever that is.
Society doesn't allow us to do that today. Well, that's the hard thing. They do. They make it very hard, you know? Like you guys said, instant gratification, the drive-through, 1 hour dry cleaning.
Yeah. Rapid refund.
Yeah, right.
Now all of a sudden you can't wait 6 weeks to get your refund.
No, you want it tomorrow.
After it took you all year to get it.
Yeah, right. You would too if you was in active addiction trying to get
it. Oh, an active addiction. Yeah, I understand that.
That's what's built. Cell phones. Everything is instant
gratification. Fix-oriented society.
So is technology to blame for our addictions?
Well timed, Doherty. Thank you.
Absolutely.
Marty's the best.
You know, and I hear people talk about that addicts and alcoholics have a weak willpower. And, you know,
I don't know. We're strong-willed people. I don't know about all that.
You know, for me, when it comes to alcohol or drugs, somehow, some way, when I'm out there drinking or using, my willpower is definitely weakened. However, in other areas of my life, my willpower is strong.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, when good work ethic, good person overall and stuff. But when it comes to drugs and alcohol, everything's out the window.
See, here's the thing. For me, my mentality was: if God made anything that ever made me feel better than heroin, He kept it for Himself.
Yeah, and I'm mad at it.
And that was the problem. It made me feel like I couldn't feel like without it. So I thought. So that's what happened.
Well, it's the illusion.
Exactly. So we buy into the illusion, and what it is, that just so happens to get you physically addicted.
Which gives you an excuse to continue to do it, so you won't feel that way. Look, I've relapsed before, and let me tell you something. I knew that in 3 days, I would have a runny nose if I didn't cop. I knew it already in my mind, so I had to become prepared for that. I had a choice whether to, maybe it would be different the fourth day, but I didn't think so. So what did I try to do? I tried to cop as much as I could, so that I could have as much and try to manage my own using. And that never worked out either.
That was always
going to say, how'd that work out for you?
it never worked out. So once I buy into the illusion and that fantasy that, it'll be different this time, it never is.
No, it isn't.
Those are our famous last words. How's that working for you?
Yeah. And that's what bothers me about these young kids. You know, they think that it's not going to be as bad if I just go out. Exactly. Right. And unfortunately, you know, since I've been in my recovery that I'm doing today, 10 people in my life are dead because they had that mindset that, well, just this one more time. I lost a cousin 2 weeks ago, you know, because she had that mindset one more time. Why not? I've been doing this for so long. I've been clean. Just that one more time, our tolerance is lowered. We think we can go out there and do just what we were doing before. Doesn't work.
No.
I can tell a kid I went to 35 funerals so far this year, and it does not
faze.
Won't
even blink an eye.
No.
Not at all.
No, they want to know where they cop because that had to be something real good. So, you know, and that's the mindset today.
I can't even wrap my mind around that.
That's ridiculous.
Today is May 23rd.
Right. It's only 5 months into the year.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I figured that out. That's pretty good.
Thank you, John.
No calculator.
You should have a great
door, four-digit code.
He didn't even have to take his shoes off to count his toes.
That's right. You should have a great word of the week tonight.
Yeah, I do, actually.
It's about that time.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
What do you got, bro?
He's got a laugh. Well, I was sitting here thinking, and that's, I didn't make a mistake by thinking.
I thought it was
huger.
Or coy.
They're never going to let me live that down.
Or coy.
Coy, this word is the hugest.
The hugest?
Which is huger.
Huger.
Now, word of the week, worthwhile.
Wow.
Wow. And the word kind of came to me during this conversation.
I like that. That's it spins.
You know, it kind of spins. Everything we talked about, you know, we're all in the same boat, just a different cabin, pretty much. You know, I don't know I like you from that. A can of paint, but you come here and you wanted to help and participate. And, you know, we all have the same message. So worthwhile, according to Webster's, which is the dictionary I use, worth the time, money, or effort spent. Of value or importance. And this lifestyle is worthwhile to me. And I was led back to this program begrudgingly because I didn't really want to come back here.
What are you cooking up over there? I hear you. It is worthwhile.
You know, and as a result of maintaining that worthwildness, is that a word, Artie?
It is now.
You know, I mean, I had to continue to just show up and do some things, and I decided to make an investment in my own life because my life started to have value. See, when I came here, I didn't think I could get clean again. You know, but I did a couple of things. I walked through the door of self-help, and I said, whatever you need me to do, I'll do. And those were the words that came out of my mouth. But the feeling that I had with those words was, I'm going to stick to that commitment. And I didn't have to tell everybody that I'm not a talker like that. I don't really toot my own horn or anything like that. I just kind of do what I say I'm going to do, and I do it. I don't have to explain to you why I'm doing it. I just do it, you know, just like this. And just those little things that we do, you know. If I tell you, if I meet you at a meeting and I tell you I'm going to give you a call, 95% of the time I do that.
But you do that for yourself, don't you?
And for the other person, because I think that when I was new in a meeting, I got a home group because I went to the meeting the first night out of rehab and I got 50 hugs.
I want to know what happened 50. To the other 5% of the
time. Yeah, what happened to them? They fall off or what?
Well, I probably forgot about them or maybe put their number in wrong or...
He had to fuck it.
You know, or just said, you know, hey, thank God those words are out of my vocabulary. Two things happened to me. The fuck it's left and I know I took out of my vocabulary.
And I'm good.
I love the fuck it.
I'm good. Yeah, it's like
good
I know.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, how do you shut down a conversation? You tell everybody you're doing okay. Then there's nothing to talk about.
Right.
You could be dying inside.
Right.
I remember dying inside and not saying, well, I'm clean a long time. I shouldn't feel this way.
Well, I went over to my nephew.
They wouldn't understand.
Like, he did like a handful of everything I think he had. You know, how you doing, Michael? Yeah, I'm good.
He was good, man.
He was real good.
I realized that, but...
Well, let me know how you're doing tomorrow.
Yeah, the next week.
It took him 5 days before he finally broke down.
Did he go to treatment?
Yeah.
He's actually doing really good.
In a sober house in Levittown right now.
Oh, nice.
Right. Good.
He's all happy to be there.
Good. Good. I'm glad that worked out.
This is a rodeo, so.
Yeah, sometimes it takes that.
He OD'd when he was 15. So I thought he would have learned something there. But.
Well, my friend Billy, I talked to him yesterday. He OD'd. And he's not doing so well. He's on dialysis, and he's so sad. I talked to him yesterday on the phone. You know, he wanted to go to treatment, but he's got to get his medical stuff taken care of. He's in the you know, we could pray for him. I hope you all would. I spoke to him just yesterday. I spoke to his aunt and his mom, and they're, you know, really wanting this guy to get help. But, you know, that's what happens.
You know, they'll offer more and more now. You know what I mean? And if you're in the hospital and you have an addiction problem and they know it, I mean, they offer you help, whether you take it or not. You know what I mean? Is another question. But it's a little bit of a different frame of mind, but I'm still a little amazed. Like, that my nephew has good insurance. And, you know, as soon as they said residential, you know what I mean, for anything, they were like, you know?
Right.
You know. The daggers went up, so, you know, what's wrong with our system today, and how does it get fixed, you know what I mean? How do you pay for insurance, and when you really need it for, you know what I mean, addiction services or mental health issues that, you know what I mean? They start throwing walls up around you. Makes no sense to me.
Yeah, I mean,
it comes back to the, hey, I'm having a heart attack, I'm back on, you know, July 3rd. What?
That would be crazy. But why isn't it crazy when they tell you that if you're trying to detox?
Exactly.
Yeah, come back next week. We don't have a bed.
It's a disease, that's why. Mm-hmm.
You call Maryville every day at 8:30 and make sure to see if they have a bed yet. Right, right.
But in the meantime, you're still...
They're not doing that. They're doing that for like 3 days. That fourth day, they're like, fuck it.
Yeah, you know? Well, there you go. That's what it is, you know. You want to put it off, and unfortunately, there's not unlimited beds, you know.
Actually, there's less and less beds now because you got recovery, whatever the hell they are, of America that are buying up all the public beds. Turning Point, Lighthouse, they're all private now.
Oh, yeah, Turning Point's all.
So what's that? That's 200 beds you lost. You know what I mean? The future right now is going to be ambulatory detox.
Well, they have a couple of them in New Jersey.
It's going to happen. It's going to be your choice. You're going to go to a detox center and detox all day, and you're going to get Suboxone and go home that night and come back the next day.
Is that a good thing, though? Because I know for me, when I detox...
I don't think it's a good thing. I mean, what happens when my nephew, for instance, was mixing benzos and opiates and everything? I mean, once you throw benzos in, man, that's a medical detox.
That's where I was. Right. You know, I went into detox. Unfortunately, they wouldn't take me. I had to tell them that I was going to hurt myself.
That's crazy. I mean, you know, that was the game that we had to play.
You need at least 10 days to detox from benzos.
Before they,
at least.
You know,
18 days to detox from benzos. I was a zombie.
Yeah, they don't...
Falling off leg chair.
Give them 10.
You don't start withdrawing from them till 7.
Yeah, they have a half one.
That's the problem.
And you can go into seizure. I mean, it is a medical...
It is.
Yeah, that alcohol is a bad one.
So is benzo.
Can make that one look a little rougher.
But you know what is even worse than that? Barbs. Barbiturates.
Oh, now you're talking old school.
Yeah. Well, you know? I remember. I had a habit of
them. Yeah, me too.
It's just a word you don't hear much anymore.
15 years old, I was doing Tylenol, you know?
Because it went from barbiturates to opiates.
Right.
You know that. I'm surprised you didn't get to that.
Well, they took the barbiturates off the market.
Barbiturates for our generation.
The only barbiturate that they
have. Tylenols now.
Tylenols are still on the market.
Are they?
Levitols.
I never hear about that.
Because of the price value, to go into the doctor and to get them to the pharmacies, Wolf Pharmacy has them. You can go to the north section of and for you know $6-7.
You know, back in our day, there was Quaaludes. You don't hear anything about that stuff. Now it's the heroin. That's the thing.
Manufacturing that.
Yeah, but you can go to Mexico and still find them.
Yeah, but they're not real.
No. There's no lemons in Mexico.
Ronald Reagan and his wife started that. Just say no.
Yeah, I know. How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just sit there and don't use.
Well, I mean, it's probably worked out for some people. But not for the whole.
Not somebody like me, that's for sure. Yeah.
But I'm sure that there's people. I mean, the last time I checked the stats, there's more clean people.
It's plain and simple.
In the country
than there are addicted people.
Is that true? Period.
That's true.
Really?
Yeah, we're probably 20% of the population.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't know that.
I would never think that.
No, yeah. I thought I would figure we're like at the bottom.
Of what?
You know, the percentage.
There's more people that don't end up like us than actually do. Our network, we know, because this is what we're involved with.
This subculture, you might call it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a lifestyle and all that, but I've done a lot of reading about stuff like that, and I was impressed when I heard that, because I kind of felt like finally, I forget. I'm sure that I talked to you about it before, because we talk about everything, but... You know,
probably
because
that's what we're focused on.
I was glad to really be a part of the greater whole, more so than, you know, the person that wasn't supposed to make anything of his life, wasn't supposed to be successful. You know, the guy who, you know, went to so many rehabs, you know, why should I even talk to him anymore? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm really happy that... I'm on that other side. But it's taken a lot of work, and I just want to thank you guys for coming.
Well, thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us, absolutely.
And showing up.
Yeah, yeah, thanks.
You know, and Rob, I know you were the wheels behind us. Thank you very much for your service.
You said it. That's what it is all about. You know, and moving. You know, they live, you know, in the same building as I live in, and that's what we do. You know, good.
You travel together.
Yeah, definitely. Right. You know, that's what it is.
Spread that experience, strength, and hope, man. That's what it's all about.
And you know what? It don't matter what fellowship, what any of this is. It's trying to get another day clean.
That's it.
That's it.
That's the important thing. Thank you, Wardy, Johnny.
Yeah. Thank you, guys.
Thanks for having us. Appreciate
it. Yeah, anytime. You can come back.
Well, you can give them their gift bags and stuff now.
Any Christmas order.
Don't take the house, though. That's mine.
I lost my house already.
Yeah, it's good. Good show. Good to be here.
Yeah, it was a nice conversation. We had a really, as usual, it flies by. And next week,
we're
not here.
We're off, yeah.
You're off.
How about that? So, next week is Memorial Day.
Thank you, Artie, for giving us the day off.
Thanks, Artie. Well, I'm glad you granted that to us.
Of course, every day is a holiday in my life, but this is a national holiday, I think.
Yeah,
so
this one is fixed. Every day will be a holiday in my life.
I hear retirement creeping up.
Yeah, so thanks again, guys. Heartfelt.
Thank you.
I appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks for getting these guys here. Thanks for Artie for another great job, of course.
Absolutely.
We will see you in 2 weeks.
Right, we got a big show that night, Johnny, 2 weeks.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, June 6th.
Yeah, who'd you say is coming on?
Yeah, a couple people I know. I'm very, influential, very much involved in this recovery. I'm going to say recovery mission because it's become a mission.
It is a mission.
You have to have a mission to fight an epidemic, you know. So you can win more battles with people. So we want to get as much people involved as we can, and we'll just continue to show up, and an hour will go by before we know it.
That's right. It usually always happens. So everybody have a safe and happy Memorial Day next week.
Yep.
We'll see you. What's that date?
June 6th.
June 6th. We won't see you. You'll hear us on June 6th.
Yeah, they don't want to look at us.
No, they don't. We have radio faces. Thanks for joining us. And have a wonderful and safe, happy holiday next week. And we'll see you in 2 weeks. Until then.
2 weeks?
2 weeks. 2 weeks.
That's a huger.
Yeah, it's huger than that.
Got you.
Until then, be well. Thanks.